You'll just have to be in the dark and sweaty, James.
He had
That's
a date like
not
that one?
Different from when I'm usually looking at you, Salsa.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. Yeah.
We have no guests,
well
but we do have drinks.
Done.
Jenna, what you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dr. Fix-It because Uncle Hugo's is on fire again, because why wouldn't it be? So I'm hoping a Dr. Fix-It will fix it.
Ooh. And remind our listening audience what goes into a Dr. Fix-It. And by listening audience, I mean
Dr.
me.
Dr. Pepper and Sailor Jerry's.
Ah.
Today's episode brought to you by Fahrenheit 451.
God.
I am drinking an as yet not named beverage, as far as I'm concerned. It's a cream soda and Kahlua.
Oh. What would we call that? It's a coffee creamer.
It's coffee creamer.
Decent.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Out at Fest, one of the people in the tents near me makes Airship Captains, which is cream soda and rum, spiced rum. Fantastic.
That does sound really good. I think that's going to be my next.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
My next beverage.
I am drinking a beer, but I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, because that it is wrapped into the what I've been doing. So,
I'm going to tell you
the story
what
first. Okay, so what have I been doing? My family went to Iowa.
Sweet seg.
Ooh, for like the corn?
No. Better. So we went
not corn.
So on Saturday, we on kind of a whim all hopped in the car, and the whole family, we drove about 2.25 hours just across the border into Iowa, where there is a fossil center.
Ooh.
It is an area where there was an inland sea, and it was full of sea life, you know, snails and crabs and coral and stuff like that.
Oh my.
And so there's just layers of this stuff. And of course the sea went away and now it's in the middle of Iowa, but there's this spot in the prairie where it's right
because even water doesn't want to be there.
it's a spot on the prairie where there's a lake, and right next to the lake there's a gully where it's been washed out by the rain. So you've got this kind of this ravine with layered sandstone on you know walls, and you go there and you cannot miss them.
You can't throw a stone without hitting a fossil.
You really can't.
You can't throw a stone without the stone being a fossil.
So for those of you interested, by the way, it is called the Fossil and Prairie Center, in Iowa, and it is honestly a lot of fun. There's a visitor center there that is not open right now due to coronavirus, but you know any other year would be open and you could go in and kind of see things. But otherwise, it's out, like you don't have to pay entrance. You don't have to. It's free, and they have so many fucking fossils that you can take them home. Yes, have some, whatever. The one caveat is you can't sell them.
Oh,
like
sure.
Like if you're going to sell them, you're no, not allowed. But if you're just like gonna come take some fossils home for the shit of it, have some, yes. And so you go there, and we brought like a shovel and you know some trowels just in case, because we didn't know, we'd never been there. Completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary. And, like, we had the kids, and we were talking about, you know, tempering expectations. Like, now we might not find something. You know, don't be disappointed if we don't, but we're going to look and see what happens. And then we got there, and like I said, you look down, and there's just, oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. And they're fucking everywhere. But it's amazing how quickly you get jaded to them, honestly. And then you start looking for good ones, you know, like mm. Oh no, this one does not meet my standards anymore. But there's seven different kinds of fossils, like fast fossil families, that you can get at this place. Give me just a second. While I pull this up, because I took a picture of it so I wouldn't forget. So there are the brachiopods. And brachiopods are the most common. Brachiopods are the ones that you just find fucking everywhere. They are bivalves, kind of like clams, but unlike clams, the two halves are asymmetrical. So oh. one half will be a big dome, and the other half
they just
will be
have
flat.
An overbite.
Yeah, basically. So one half is kind of big and bulbous, and the other half is flat. So those are the brachiopods. Those are fucking everywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then you get into the other categories, and those are a lot harder to find. And when you do find one of those, that's the special moments. They have corals. Which is another one. We all know what those are. There's bryozoans, they're also called moss animals. Bryozoans are kind of similar to coral, but they looked more mossy. Really kind of cool. There are the pelecypods, and pelecypods are like clams, similar to the other ones, but the symmetrical shell halves. Found a few of those. Found a couple coral, found a few bryozoans. Gastropods, those are like snails. Found four or five of those, a couple really big ones. Like, I found one that was probably 2.5 inches in diameter. It was pretty sizable. Then there's the cephalopods, mollusks, squid-like, you know, tentacles and things like that. Didn't find any cephalopods. Find any cephalopods or that's the only one we didn't find. And the last one was the crinoids. And the crinoids are sea lilies. They are basically they were basically long tendrils, kind of like straws, and when they died, their like shell just was this long straw that broke into little pieces. And so it almost looks like little stone beads, where it's just like a half inch long tube, and that's the and we found one of those. My daughter found that one, and she was
nice
over the moon because we found that one. But yeah,
somebody called Joe because we don't do flowers, but if he gets me one of those lily things, like a whole bunch of them on a string. Fucking he'll be set for life. Like flowers, only they don't die because they're already dead.
Yeah, the fossil for, the fossil for those, like I said, just look like little beads, and that's all they are. But they're really hard to find. Like I said, they were hard. We only found one of those. But it's just this one little gully and very rocky sides. You know, it very sharp. Like walking through there, if you don't want to wear shorts or sandals. You know, you want to wear something that'll protect your legs because it's very sharp rock. But yeah, you just go out there and you just kind of start sifting through the rocks and you find what you find. We had a little beach pail, and the kids had it filled halfway with these things, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, after being there for an hour and a half, we went through the bucket and kind of kept the ones that we liked the most. And we still ended up with, you know, a good fistful of you know, these fossils, but we brought home fossils, and my kids were dancing around, you know, singing that they're being paleontologists and, you know, stuff like that. They were adorable. They were
paleontologists with a pail.
They oh. Hmm.
Jenna, I'm
but,
so proud
but
of
they
you.
Had they had the fucking time of their life. They had the time of their life. They were the whole time they were there, they were happy, they were engaged, they were having fun. Every time they would find a shell, I found one. Even though we'd been doing it for 45 minutes and they'd found 75 shells already, I found one. You know, super excited every time, had to show us every shell that they found. Absolutely amazing. It was really cool for them. It was really cool for me. We had an absolute blast. I highly recommend it. I genuinely do. If you've got a weekend free or something. So
next time Joe and I go down to KC, we'll make that one of our
stops.
Make them find the rock.
It's not that far off of I-35.
Okay.
Like you go maybe 10, 15 miles off of 35 to get to it. But anyway, so that's what we did. We drove, like I said, we drove about 2.25 hours to get there. We stayed, you know, for an hour, dug up the shells, had a great time doing that. And then we got in the car and we started driving home. And my wife and I are kind of looking at each other like, you know, it seems a little silly to drive this far just to do one thing for an hour and then drive all the way back. Like that kind of silly. Like, I wonder if there's anything else we can do while we're here. But we're
in the Spam Museum in Austin.
But we're in the prairie in Iowa. What are we going to do? And of course, my brain goes to, I wonder if there's any breweries around here. Yeah, exactly. Now we see where we're going with this. So I pulled out my phone and I started looking at for breweries. And there was a brewery just on a town just off the highway that was on our way, and I was like, oh, cool. And I started looking at the stuff that they had, and I was like, oh, they do online ordering. I can buy a growler online and then drive past and it'll be sitting on the porch.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? So that's what I did. I bought three growlers on my phone, and then we just drove past it, and I went to get my beer, and then we left. It was fantastic.
My God, this whole pandemic thing just really has been the introvert's dream.
It really, it's amazing. But not only were they super convenient in that respect, but the name of some of their beers was fantastic. By the way, I should this was Lake Time Brewery. I forget the name of the town, somewhere in Iowa. Lake Time Brewery. Really good stuff, by the way.
They only have so many towns, so... Yeah.
It's true.
So the first one I got was Welcome to the Jungle Juice. which was a mango and papaya sour.
Ooh.
It was real good. Like, even my wife, who doesn't like beer, liked this one. Raiderly liked this one.
Sour.
But it wasn't very sour. It wasn't like super sour. It was very subtly sour. It was just kind of that, like, just a little bit, but then it had that, like, papaya mango fruitiness to it. And it,
yeah. And yeah. I love mango, but I'm not sure I can have papaya. So.
No, and my wife was like, you know, I don't think I can drink a whole glass of this, but I can definitely take a shot glass of this or a taster. And she enjoyed it a great deal. The second one I got was a milk stout called Oreo Speedwagon.
Oh my God. I don't want to like that name, but I do.
And it tasted like an Oreo.
Whoa.
It was so good. I really, really wish that you were over here, James, and we could record together, because I would love to get this in your taste buds, because it was so good.
I also want this.
And the one I am drinking tonight, which is their their Honey Kolsch.
Ah.
So. Yeah.
It is a beautiful color.
It is.
It is lovely.
This is the first taste, just now is the first time I've tasted this one.
Hmm.
And the color, it looks like amber.
It
looks like an actual chunk of amber
color.
Rock.
Yeah.
It's very good. I'm honestly, I'm impressed with everything I've had from them.
Nice.
The
nice.
Thing that did not impress me is, as we were driving by to do our contactless pickup, is that place was hopping, and there wasn't a mask in sight.
Well, so I know that Iowa has traditionally been a battleground state, but it's a very conservative state.
It is very much so. Yeah, while we were digging for fossils, there was a couple cars in the parking lot with Trump all over them.
Yep.
God, but, like they are a battleground state. Like they're all about, hey, go gays. Like they had gay marriage before we did.
Uh huh.
Which was only slightly before the rest of America did.
Yeah.
right.
But yeah, like they are actually the definition of libertarian.
Yeah, that seems right.
But they really are. Like, yeah. If there was a libertarian state, I think it would be Iowa.
I think you're right.
They're just like, fuck it, whatever. Don't be a dick. All right, go.
I actually did not get the honey Kolsch originally. I originally got a beer called Funfetti.
Oh.
And it was an ale that had actually been steeped in sprinkles.
I would try that just to say I fucking tried
exactly.
It.
That's exactly what I like. Both my wife and I were like, yeah? We want to try this. It's probably terrible, but we want to try it just to find out. And what happened is I ordered it, and they contacted me back and said, we just cashed the keg.
Dang. Oh.
Damn.
Yeah, I was so disappointed. I was like, do you have it in a can or any volume anywhere? I just want to sample it. I want to know. And they're like, I'm sorry, we're completely out of that one. You know, next time you're coming through here. And I was like, I'm never going to be coming through here again.
All right. Remind me. This is your job because I'm not going to remember. I'm drinking Dr. Fix-It and I'm already excited. But remind me the next time Joe and I go down to stop at this brewery and see if we can pick you up some Funfetti booze.
Okay.
This is your job.
Okay, I will. If it doesn't happen, it's on me.
Exactly.
Also, that means that we need to find something that both Joe and Jenna will find interesting in Iowa.
No, they just need to go to Kansas City, James.
Well,
were you not? Yeah. What it?
No, I know, but also, like in exchange, I feel like we should do something nice for them.
I already told.
Is what I'm saying.
I already told them about beer and fossils. What more do you want from me, James?
I mean, fossils are pretty cool, and maybe I can convince Joe to make a stop for fossils.
Hmm.
Like. I make no promises, but he's also not much of a stop on a road trip guy. I feel like he would make a stop for booze. I don't know if he would make a stop. And honestly, this is something I appreciate about him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, again, a selling point of this place is that the fact that you can buy it off your phone and then 5 minutes later it's sitting on the porch. So that's,
I mean, this is,
you know, a,
right off of 35 because I could probably convince that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those towns that's on the highway, and you get off the highway and you go, I want to say 8 blocks into town to get kind of the main drag, and then you grab your stuff and then you drive back out to the exit and off you go.
Okay,
8 blocks is not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I am probably convinced 8 blocks.
Anyway, that's what I did. That was my weekend, and it was hella exciting.
Oh my god!
That is very exciting.
It was a good time. And then my kids started camp and summer school and stuff today.
Oh, sure.
Ooh, how's that going?
Today was my son's. Today was my son's first day of day camp.
Oh.
At Camp Casey Yappy. Or Kiki Yappy or whatever it's called, and he was vibrating when he got home. He had so much fun. He was like, we saw horses and we did this and we played these games and then we, you know, threw water at our counselor and then we did that. It was just
yes.
But he's going to be doing camp all this week, and then next week he starts a different camp, kind of more of a pseudo daycare camp. You know, that's kind of more along those lines. Whereas this is like his 1 week of like camp. So. Mm.
So.
Anyway,
yeah. What about you guys? No,
I don't have COVID.
There is that.
There is that. I because I'd been doing a little bit of helping in the neighborhood, and they had the pops. I was like, well, I should go get tested, even though I don't feel sick like I did back in fucking April, all of April. I lost a month. But yeah, so I just went in to get tested just to make sure. And then let's see, I also dropped off, okay, so I don't know if you guys knew this. I did, but it's been very in my face lately that Minneapolis has a homeless population.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I've always done is have like homeless like care packages, so that if I run into somebody that's in a homeless state, not only am I giving them a couple bucks in cash, but I'm also giving them some things that you don't normally get in a homeless situation. And I verified these packages with someone who has been homeless. I call him my homeless expert. I was like, what needs to be in these packs? And he was like, toenail clippers. I'm like, oh, I would not have thought of that. All right. But they're multifunctional. They're not just for nails. They're also good for like cutting cords or things or whatever. And they're not razors. So if you do go to a shelter or go into a facility that's more cautious.
Lockdown.
Yeah. They're not going to take away your toenail clippers.
Right.
So, but yeah, so they're packs filled with these, you know, a few snacks, a few whatevers. They're not, obviously, they're not going to change your world, but, you know, a little something that'll help in a way that maybe somebody else might not have thought about because they didn't have a homeless expert.
Sounds beneficial.
Right. So that's a thing that I've been doing consistently throughout my neighborhood, because we do have a lot of homeless people in this neighborhood, and I've always known that, and do what I can to help.
Yeah.
So there is a hotel about 700 feet away from my house. That recently got bought out by somebody else. So it's no longer the Sheraton, right? And I've actually stayed at this hotel before when my furnace was busted.
We visited you there at that point, didn't we?
Yeah, you guys came for birthday breakfast. It was very delightful.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
But yeah, so since that point, the hotel has been bought out because they were having problems. And the new owner allowed a bunch of homeless people to be there during the protests and some COVID stuff and whatever. And they were calling it Sanctuary Hotel. And then there has been so much destruction there by just a few individuals, which is what that the owner was like, I can't have you guys here. The fire department has been here three times this night for nothing, but somebody keeps pulling the fucking fire alarm. Like, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a rescind on that. Like, there are some people that are still allowed to be there that have, like, I don't know, proven themselves or have whatever. Like, they're using that as their address right now to be able to find jobs, which is fantastic. But it's not everybody.
Right.
So a lot of those people have built a camp in Powderhorn Park. Which, honestly, like, it's a good park for it. It's lovely. It's a few blocks away.
Yeah.
I mean, the neighborhood's all burned down, but whatever. Like, it's a little less burned down over there than it was over at Sanctuary Hotel, so. But this is a thing that happens with homeless people, is that they don't have a place to stay. So they try to find themselves a place to stay, a tent or under a bridge or a something, and then they get kicked out because they don't want those people around.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Again, having had people very dear to me be homeless and having been on welfare and concerned about this for myself,
right.
This is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. So the Sanctuary Hotel moved a bunch of people out. I'm being kind, but moved a bunch of people out last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And there is, if you go to Sanctuary Hotel on Facebook, they're keeping up a Facebook group. A lot of the information is kind of last minute, but that's also kind of how homelessness works. But I saw that they were looking for tents. So I brought over my Fest tent that I haven't even needed for the past couple of years because I've been the assistant campground director.
Yeah.
I've got a place. So I brought that over. I have some sleeping bags, things like that. Things that I can easily replace that will do these people more good.
Right. Sure.
So my tent, my previous tent is probably somewhere in Powderhorn Park right now. whatever. And that's just a thing I'm going to kind of lift up is like, hey guys, be nice to your homeless people. Yes, there are some people that are going through a very difficult time with drugs or alcoholism or some kind of an addiction. There are a lot of other people that are going through a hard time because of domestic abuse and they needed to get out, or parental abuse and they needed to get out, or just being kicked out because they are not right in some way with their parents, whether that's LGBT or not clipping their toenails the right way. I don't know, whatever the fuck it is. I think for me, I will always err on the side of I'm going to give you this thing. I'm going to give you this money or whatever in hopes that that will be able to get them through the next day.
Right.
So the Powderhorn Park thing happened. And then they were given 72 hours to get out of that.
Oh, good.
It got rescinded.
Yeah.
You're going to be allowed to stay at Powderhorn Park, which Powderhorn Park has kind of become a bit of a hub for the neighborhood area.
Mm-hmm.
Which is understandable. It's a giant ass fucking park right over there. There's a lake. It's lovely. There was also a lot of people during the protests, and which are still happening. I don't want to negate that, but when things were a lot more exciting in this neighborhood, I'm going to say it that way.
Yeah.
There were neighborhood or community meetings that were happening at Powderhorn, and there's talk of white supremacists that were meeting there as well. I think it was brought up the KKK, things like that. I don't know how much of that was or wasn't confirmed, but we sure did have a lot of fucking crime shit happening during the long night in this area.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of watching, monitoring, and seeing for ways I can help in that situation.
Sure.
These are my neighbors too.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have houses, which kind of means they need more than my other neighbors, which are
by definition, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they need more than my other neighbors, who still need a lot because their businesses have burned down.
Right.
Or, you know, like right now it just smells like smoke. Again. Consistently. Like, I had a few days there where my neighborhood didn't smell like smoke. That was delightful.
And then Uncle Hugo had to make his presence known once again.
Once again. Jesus Christ, Uncle Hugo. Like, a half an hour before the podcast, I feel like the book dragon that lives in the basement is just timing this at this point to be like, well, it's been, you know, a few days. I better puff up again.
It's like those birthday candles that keep relighting themselves.
Oh.
Only that's really sad.
I would put it past the previous owner, the current owner, the owner of Uncle Hugo's, regardless of what state it's in. I wouldn't put it past him to actually own some of those. So, I'm so much in the thick of everything that it's hard for me to have things outside of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how's your life? Like, everybody else doesn't have the smoke coming in consistently to remind them that their buildings burned down.
Right.
Nobody else has, you know, like, it's something that is just quite literally more in my face due to proximity.
Sure.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there's just a constant kind of dealing with that while dealing with the rest of life. On the flip side, Joe and I went to Kiefer Court and got a bunch of pork butts.
Ooh.
Do you guys know about Kiefer Court?
I do not.
I don't.
Oh my god. So it is literally on the corner of Cedar Riverside. You know where Arcadia is? It's across the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is run by someone who Joe describes as an efficient Chinese lady. What do you want? What else? What else? What else?
Yeah.
Okay, it's this much. Like a very efficient Chinese woman.
No nonsense.
Which Joe appreciates. Possibly because he's Chinese, but also because he just really likes efficiency and not around the bush.
No, this sounds like my dream.
Yeah, you would dig it. But they have all sorts of different buns. They have pork buns, they have curry buns, they have sticky buns. All of the buns. And this came about because Joe and I have been watching. I finally got him to watch The Last Airbender with me. Not the movie.
No.
The series. So we were watching this, and there was an egg custard tart, and we was like, oh, Kiefer Court has egg custard tarts. And I was like, I want an egg custard tart. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, we better go and get some fucking egg custard tarts and some buns then, because we're just watching everybody in this series have all of this delicious food. And just like, now I want this delicious food. Because I love my boyfriend. He loves his food. He's a foodie. It's wonderful. So yeah, we ended up getting a whole bunch of these things, and they're fucking delicious, you guys. I highly recommend popping in and getting yourself a bun. They're like $2.50 or $2.75 a bun, and they are the size of they're bigger than hamburger buns. They're like way big. They're
sure,
like
fist soft size.
A pork bun is a small meal.
Nice.
Mm.
That's just it. And you can get one of those for about $2.50, $2.75, somewhere in there.
Mm.
And they're delicious, and I recommend them. If Fringe happens again next year, that's going to be a stop for me. I'm going to go in, grab a bun, and then move on to my next venue and have it done by the time the next show starts.
I also love me.
I think that's an extraordinarily commendable plan.
Egg custard and the egg does sound really good.
It was really good. I would take a bite and Joe would be like, "Oh." Also, you guys are frozen, so I don't know if you can still hear me.
Yep,
yeah,
no,
I can.
We did not have any.
I can actually just
problems.
I can still see you too.
All
You're still
well
moving around. Yeah.
I'm going to let you guys talk, because I'm only getting, like, every eighth word.
Weird. Huh. Well, in that case, James, what have you been up to?
It's very weird.
It's my internet. Don't worry about it. I guarantee it. It's my internet. So keep going.
I have done a few things, including last week I talked about a video game that I had been playing that I had very quickly fallen out of love with because of the sort of racial overtones of it, and the need to have a new and different game. And my friends delivered. There is a game called GTFO, which is a four-person squad-based tactical survival game where they drop you into a research facility that is overrun with creatures, like weird creatures that are trying to murder you. And they're called sleepers, and they the sleepers are basically zombies with special powers of some kind. But whenever you find them, they can't see you. But they can detect you if you move fast enough. It's sort of, I guess I would say it's a combination of Left 4 Dead, Last of Us, and Resident Evil. Because ammunition is extremely scarce. There are no safe points where you can go and save your progress, really. You just sort of continually move through this structure. But one of the things that I liked most about playing GTFO and sort of the zombie horror survival part of that is my friends needed me and my command line interface expertise in order to play it. And I'm sure that anybody could learn it pretty quickly or figure it out, but they have consoles everywhere that help you to find objects or give you the location and distance to things and tell you more information about where certain doors lead when they don't have identifying features other than the number of the door.
Okay.
You know, you walk up to door B457 and you have no idea where it goes unless you have someone who can open the terminal and knows how to run commands and use command line interfaces like that. And so it's pretty thrilling to be of use and have my job skills become applicable in a zombie survival environment. It's extremely difficult. It is an extraordinarily difficult game that they really starve you for ammunition. Like I said, it is a survival game.
Right.
Health items do almost nothing to recover you. You know, like the largest health item recovers 20% of your health. And you will find three of them for your team of four. It's really brutal. And so the rest of the team is finding that they are having to get experience with doing melee, which is also extremely gratifying for me. it's also a pretty well-made game, even though it's in early release. So it's not the regular release, but you can buy it steeply discounted with the understanding that when it is then released, that you will already own it at the discounted price.
Right.
But it's pretty smooth and fun. There isn't really any matchmaking services, so to speak, to match you with a team. You just join a server and hope that people are looking. Mm. Yeah. But it's pretty good. I also, Jenna had posted about this and may even have spoken about it on the podcast, but I also indulged by buying a pack of games which I'm trying to think if it's still going to be available by the time this podcast gets posted.
I think it's
I don't think it is.
No, I got that too, and yeah, it's done.
1,700 games.
It started at like 2,000, like, or it started at what, like 700?
I think it was 700 games. Yeah, and then people added 1,000 more games. It's just phenomenal.
Ridiculous.
And so I'm sort of salivating over those titles as well.
I bought it too. I haven't had a chance to play any of them, but I've been sifting through it. And there's a couple of them that I know. Quadrilateral Cowboy is in there. I've heard really good things about that one.
Yeah. Night in the Woods, I've heard really good things about. There's also one called Dungeons and Lesbians that I'm really
was looking at that one.
Very excited to learn about. I'm hoping that it's like Dream Daddy.
Yes.
It looked kind of like a kind of cartoony D&D with relationships. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't played it either, but yeah, that was one I was eyeballing. But yeah, there's like three or four games in there that I've heard of before that and they're all small indie games, but yeah, this was not only a chance to do something good, but also to pick up a few good games. So
yeah,
yep.
Well, and a bunch of my friends bought it, and there are tabletop games in there as well. So this could be good. This could be very interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to need a list of which ones I should download because I can't do all... I'm not capable.
There's too many. You could play one a day and it would take literally years.
Literal years, yeah.
Yep.
4 or 5.
Yeah.
Six years,
give me a list
like
of what you're downloading.
I'm
I'll
excited
let you know
by
if
the
I download anything exciting.
Well, I think the two that we mentioned, Quadrilateral Cowboy and Dungeons and Lesbians, are probably two good ones to start with.
Night in the Woods was another one.
Yeah.
So something else that I did was to host a viewing party for an anime movie, which is available for free on YouTube, so feel free to look it up. Interstellar 5555 is made by the same person...
What is the worst password ever?
Other than password?
Or 1234, yeah.
Right. Hey, that's the password for my luggage. The creator of Captain Harlock and Galaxy Express 3-9 listened to the Daft Punk album Discovery and fell in love with it and asked them if he could make an anime film that is basically a music video for the entire album. And Daft Punk, they're huge fans of his, so they said yes. And the movie is fun and awesome. And we still riffed it, but it was great. Yeah.
So I did have one more thing that happened to me that I needed to talk about. Because I had talked about how I had introduced Joe to Last Airbender, the cartoon, not the movie. Last night, I was involved in a viewing party for the movie, not the cartoon.
Oh.
Don't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how many different ways I can see Dear God, say Dear God in Heaven, don't do it, outside of just saying Dear God in Heaven, don't do it.
Challenge accepted.
The movie?
Yeah.
I think I broke Jenna with that one.
I think so, too.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go.
Oh. Yeah, you lagged out for a minute there.
Yep.
That happens. What did you say, Salsa?
I said challenge accepted.
Okay. This is on you. You have been warned.
Ugh.
This movie lacks anything that any movie should have. The top two things for me in a movie are character, like consistent character. Just have consistent characters. Have your characters be consistent people.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Have them have good character relationships or interactions. That doesn't happen. Have a good character arc. Nope. Have an arc. Nope. Have a good story. Nope.
Oh.
Have a follow-up plot. Kind of. If you can't do any of that in a movie that has, like, kung fu and action, make it good quality action and kung fu. You can John Wick that shit. Nope. That does not happen so badly. Like, I went fight choreographer on this for about 5 minutes and then exploded. It was awful. It was awful. I can't... Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
Question.
Yes.
Does anything blow up?
Kind of, but it's not even good quality blow up.
Mm.
Okay, well, not
like it's like you blow something up, and then like it's kind of like, it's like when you go to see a fireworks display and it's lacking, and you're just like, oh man, that could have been so much
more. Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah. No, it's just bad. And having, I would rather watch Cats.
Having seen Birdemic with us, right? You watched Birdemic with us. No?
I don't remember it.
Who are you talking to?
Okay. I may have repressed it.
To Jenna, okay. Sorry. Okay. I often hold up Birdemic as being quite possibly the worst film ever made because... You know, some films have audio issues, they have fight choreography issues, they have bad writing or bad acting, and it really just sucks all of those categories down to their lowest level. So I'm now interested in seeing if there's a Riff Tracks version of Avatar, because I would watch that. I would rip that.
You will cry. We tried to. We paused multiple times during the movie to be like, what the fuck are we watching? It is so bad. I will send you an hour-long review. The movie, by the way, is only like maybe an hour and a half. Yeah. I will send you an hour-long review on how bad this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And that review will be 1,000 times better than the movie itself. If you're a fan of The Last Airbender and you watch the movie, you will throw things. You will be sad. It has basically insulted the fandom of The Last Airbender.
Yes, that I have heard. Yeah.
Oh.
There is indeed a Last Airbender Riff loved... Tracks.
There is indeed? Awesome.
There is a Riff Tracks for Last Airbender, yes.
I have friends who loved the new Ninja Turtle movies and the new Transformers movies that were not Bumblebee. And they hated Avatar.
It's well, awful.
The Last Airbender is what it's called instead of just Avatar.
Yeah. That's good. They can't pronounce anybody's names right.
Yes, that is what I have
the
also
Avatar
heard.
Avatar is not Aang, it's Aang. It's not Captain Iroh, it's Captain Iroh with a rolled R. Apparently he's Spanish? I don't know. Like, it's fucked up. They got Appa's name right. That was cool.
hard to fuck that one up.
Once, so it was hard to fuck up.
Here's my water buffalo. Opa!
Opa!
I believe you mean nice. Bison.
I love you, Salsa.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there's a wonderful... there's a wonderful comedic short. It's like 30 seconds... that I'll link for the show notes.
Cool.
That is all the review that I think people need for that film.
Oh, God. Anyway, so yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yes, please.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back after these messages.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
All right, let's do it.
All right, and we're back. I'm Salsa.
Ah.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we're going to talk about swords.
Yeah, baby.
Just the word makes me feel good.
I know, yeah. Right?
Yes.
I was on a work happy hour with my introverted nerd boys that work in the tech industry. Surprise. Just everywhere I go, there you are. But like different people. And like it came up that I did stage combat.
What?
And they're like, do you have swords? They were like, do you have swords? And I was like, yes, I have swords. And they're like, how many swords do you have? And I'm like, do you want to see my swords?
whenever the answer is, hold on, I need to count for in my head, then they...
I was like, God, how many swords do I own? The answer, by the way, is 8. Whether they're functional, decorative, whatever. 8 swords, a whip, and an axe. A couple of kendo sticks, like, you know, how far are you going to go to define a weapon? But
I mean, if we're going with swords, weapons, I've got a lot of those.
Yeah, but swords proper, I have
sure.
7. But, I've got 7 of those.
Let's see here. Okay.
Yep.
But they asked me questions like, you know.
No, I have. I do have.
Three.
Sorry. Oh. Aha, we are tied. Aha.
6. 7, 8, 9.
What? You son of a bitch. I mean, no, I like your mom. She's actually a very nice person. You motherfucker.
Okay, so.
Swords.
I'm not. Yes. I'm counting fencing sabers.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I suppose you might have a few more of those than me.
So, I've got the big claymore, the little claymore, the gladius, the basket hilt, the katana, the. Are we counting daggers?
Is that a sword?
Those are swords.
It is made out of a piece of a broken sword blade that was found.
Is it
on
a
battlefield?
Sword?
It's not.
Then it's not a sword.
So then
I also have 2 daggers.
So
but
then
I'm
I have
not
8.
Them
I've got an
sword.
Axe and a fucking kukri or a chakram,
okay.
But I'm not counting
kendo
them.
Sword. I'm not counting my.
I'm not counting kendo swords either. Or
yeah.
Combat staffs or anything like that. Staves.
This is the nerdiest fight I've ever been in. Delightful.
No, actually, if we're including fencing blades, then I've got 10.
Oh.
God damn it.
All right.
I need to up my game. What's sad is that I actually used to own more swords and I sold and or gave a bunch of weight.
I mean, this definitely happens.
What? Over the course of time, I've owned an awful lot of swords. But, yeah. So, anyway, as I'm showing off these swords to my nerd coworkers in the tech industry, surprise, they're like, well, what does that sword do? Well, what do you... Because I was pointing out, like, this sword is a very good sword for this kind of work. This sword is a very good sword for this kind of work. This sword, a little off balance, but it still works for stage combat stuff. This sword just looks really cool. Like, you know, and going through various things about my swords. And then they asked me the evil ultimate question. Which sword is your favorite?
I mean, that's like saying which of your children is your favorite?
Jessa. Like, I already have an answer.
I mean, that's
for that one.
Yeah, that's simple for you too, I guess. Not as easy for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to actually make a choice. I just had one perfect one and stopped. What?
You're not wrong.
You get it right the first time. You don't need to keep going.
Not wrong.
So my favorite sword, I think is the one that I call Baby. It is my baby. It is a scimitar blade.
I was just about to say, can I guess?
Go ahead and guess.
Yeah, I was going to say it's your big scimitar.
It's not my big scimitar.
It's not the big one, no.
It's not the big one.
Oh.
I have, well, and that's a question, which big one? So I technically own 5 blades that fall under the classification of either scimitar or shamshir, depending on which definition you're going by, and that depends on who you're asking about, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to bulk them all under scimitar. It's an easy classification.
Right.
It's a blade that is slightly curved at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And slightly might be more or less depending on the blade. But yeah, so I technically own 5. Out of my 8 swords, 5 of them are curved blades, falling under the classification of scimitar. 2 of them are purely wall hangers. They crisscross on my wall. They look cool. They do dick all.
Mm-hmm.
But they look neat, and I bought them off of somebody who was in need at the time. So have some money. I will take some pretty swords. I'm fine with this. My 3 other swords, I have my belly dance sword, which is technically a scimitar shape, but more specifically, it is balanced so that I can balance it on my head while I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sword. It is made not a fight sword. It is a dance sword, but it is still a scimitar. Then I have what I call my fantasy scimitar,
mm-hmm.
Which has a fuck-off giant-ass fan of doom on it. That is made of 1075 carbon, could possibly technically be used for stage combat. If you can lift the fucking thing or move it. Like, that is a 5-pound fucking sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks cool and could technically be used in a fight. And I do appreciate and delight in that sword. That's why I bought it. But my baby is basically a fairly plain, actually, compared to the rest of them, scimitar sword. It's got the hook pommel,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing going on. It's got a lovely cross guard. Kind of plain, but still delightful. And then it is just a blade that curves at the end. That I call that my baby because she does just about everything. She is, God, I think she's just shy of 3 pounds, which is still pretty fucking hefty for a sword.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I generally use her as a hand and a half, although sometimes I use her just single-handed. And she's the sword that I used in the 2018 Human Combat Chess, where I got to call scimitar and then beat the shit out of somebody with my scimitar, up to and including spanking him with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is my functional scimitar. She is delightfully balanced. And I do a lot of different fight styles, but I will always love a slashy fight style.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons I think why I acclimated to Batleth as well as I did, even though it is a horrible excuse for a weapon. It is also very slashy, and it has to be because of the curves, right? Mm-hmm. I love being able to flow with my weaponry. That's not to say that I can't stabby pokey, but there is something to me that is beautiful yet dangerous about flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love my scimitars, and very specifically my baby, who is able to flow and still be very, very functional.
Out of all of the swords that I have here.
You're really
echoing?
Yeah. There we go. That's better.
Oh, okay. Out of all of the swords that I have here, I think The one that I like the best is just a basket hilt that I picked up from Arms and Armor. The basket is really thick and sturdy. The handle is beautifully carved out of wood, and it's just sort of very well balanced. It feels good to hold. It's got a bit of weight to it, but it's not.
I have okay. So let's clarify this one, because I have an Arms and Armor double wide epee, which is something that I can use for single sword, but is also strong enough for rapier work.
Okay.
And it also has a beautiful swept hilt and blah 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 whatever. What kind of sword is your? Yeah, yours is definitely basketier and way fucking thicker than a double-wide epee.
Yeah.
For people that don't know what a double-wide epee is, picture a fencing foil. That's not 100% accurate, but I'm going in very basic layman's terms. And put them next to each other. Two of them next to each other. That is a double-wide epee. It's probably not an epee if it's a foil, but whatever. Fuck it. close enough to get you there.
Yeah.
What James showed us is not that.
No. This is, at its base, it slowly tapers up to a rounded point at the tip. But the base of the taper is about two thumbs width.
Whose thumbs? And mine or yours?
Mine.
Yeah, okay. Let's be clear.
Just about. It's really nice. It's kind of plain looking. Like, even the basket is not incredibly fancy. It's got a little bit of
Michael jaggediness.
Yeah, it's got some artful cutting out of it, but it's not.
I like artful cutting. That's a good term for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not what I would call fancy or fanciful.
It's not swoopy.
Yes.
It's not a swoopy hilt. It is a rounded basket with some neat jaggedy bits.
Yeah, it's a Scottish style of basket hilt, and I out of all of the swords that I have, I think that one and my fencing gear are my favorites. I think what makes a good sword is either the love that is put into it by the crafter, or the experiences that you've had with it, or ideally both.
Ideally both, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Delta. My criterion for swords are slightly different than yours.
You don't want to borrow my scimitar?
Oh, God, no.
I believe all three of us have gone to Northern Edge Armory, or could go to Northern Edge Armory with our swords.
Probably.
Yeah.
I know I have. Because I took my cane sword to them. Obviously my criteria for swords are more about what I can swallow most of the time. But that having been said, does it have to be a sword I already own, or does it have to be just something that I really like?
You know what? Let's do one of each.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Because then James and I can go back and add on if we need to.
Fair enough. The sword that I really like is the first sword I ever owned, and it's my rapier. The basket hilt of a rapier, that like artwork, ornate, you know.
Is it swept or basket?
Swept.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But just that kind of wire filigreed artwork of a handle. Like, I love that. That has always touched me in a way that my wife never could.
internally.
but I love that aesthetic. I love that aesthetic. But a sword that I covet and have always loved and just something about it gives me the happies is a good Roman gladius. Super functional weapon, short, especially when it has that slight leaf. Not a Celtic sword. That's a Celtic sword, James. That's not a gladius.
Yeah.
It's different.
Similar, but not the same.
But not the same, yeah. But a good Roman gladius, especially when it has kind of the leaf blade curve to it. I really love that. Love that aesthetic. But that that really effective short weapon used in conjunction with the scutum that is just an effective killing machine. I love that.
Scutum. I barely know him.
I was about to say, my cough job giggled with
humor. Sorry, my Latin class kind of slipped out there a little bit. With the big fucking Roman shield.
Okay.
Oh, I knew what you meant.
I did too. But,
yeah.
I had a date like that once.
Yeah. But it was the ultimate killing weapon. The Romans perfected it. Really, really did. And as much as I have beef with the Romans on many, many things, I just love their swords. I just think they're so, so beautiful.
I also, I really like their armor.
Yeah.
Like the Lorica Segmentata is really nice. Jenna, why don't you tell us about your, dream sword?
My dream sword. Oh, my God. Okay, so we're going non-practical here with my dream sword. But I once watched a movie wherein there was a sword that broke apart into different sections and became a chain whip.
Whoa, yeah.
Is this Brotherhood of the Wolf?
No, I've never actually seen Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Oh.
Maybe it was a snippet of it or something. I know, I need to. I'll make Joe make me watch it. It'll be fine. Remind him.
Yes, Salsa, please be surprised that Jenna has not seen a film.
I am giving you my copy to borrow.
Joe probably already has a copy.
Fair enough.
Let's be honest. But it is a good film.
At the end, the main bad guy has a bone sword that segments out into a chain.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sexy. But this was metal. And it went into, I'm going to guess, about 8 feet of chain with five different sword segments. But then, and this is a fantastical world, of course. This is not a functional sword.
Of course.
But yeah, it clumped together into a 5-piece broadsword. 5, maybe 6, I don't know. But yeah, then it broke apart and it was a chain whip sword. And that is sexy as fuck to me. And I want to learn how to do that. And I don't think that's an actual thing.
No.
I know there are similar things, but I don't think what was presented in that movie was a thing.
Right.
But I still want to know. I still want to do this. I want to be able to sword whip.
Right.
That is my ultimate dream goal. And I'm going to figure that out someday. Another 10 years.
I feel like I need to just give homage to 8-bit theater here and go sword chucks.
Sword chucks. Oh, fighter. You precious baby.
Well, James continues to think. My most practical favorite sword is my double wide epee. It is lovely. I can do single and even kind of some small sword type stuff with it. But it will still carry itself in a rapier fight. And that Swiss Army knife functionability of that sword is delightful. That one's named Ellie, by the way. Ellie Mayape.
Aww.
I know, right? You're supposed to be thinking, James. Do you have an answer yet?
I am thinking.
Oh, good. No, answer.
Okay. if it has to be a sword which kind of exists or could conceivably be made, I suppose. I think I have to go with the Ram Dao, which is one of many weapons that is, I think, more or less historically accurate, featured in a game called Eternal Darkness. And it's basically a claymore length scimitar. It's just like an enormously long,
like what I have on my wall that's crisscrossing, only longer.
Well, but the blade is built more like your the super decorative thick
okay
blade. So
oh,
it's
Jesus. Yeah. How the fuck would you lift that?
It has a long handle, and it is basically just designed to cleave things.
So, like, two people lift it.
One okay. Man leaves. Yes, that's the... Right. But yeah, it's... I'll see if I can send you a thing for it. But it's this gigantic weapon, and it's enormously heavy, but it is... Nothing in that game made me feel as safe as having that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is your sword whip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I feel like you would get the most out of playing Soul Calibur. There is a character that uses a sword that turns into a bladed whip and back into a sword.
Maybe it was Soul Calibur that I saw this in? I don't think so.
It's possible. But...
Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. Yay, yeah. Swords!
I like Ooh. Swords.
See, I thought your favorite swords would be ones that were straight.
I mean...
I don't know who you're talking to, but I think you're wrong. That's
because he swallows swords.
I mean,
and having
I said that. Like, I specifically did... say that at one point.
Oh, I don't remember. I've been drinking. Doctor, fix it.
I honestly, of all of the blades I own, only two of them are curved blades.
This makes sense.
Yeah, because I've got the Shamshir and I've got the katana.
Yeah,
and that's the only curves I have. Other than that.
Yeah. I have 5 curved, but I have 3 straight. The double wide epee, the rapier.
Yeah.
It's a little off balance, but there are a lot of people that like it, so whatever.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I complete like just knowing you, I know you really like you were saying, you like that flow style, you like the slashing.
I love the flow.
The slashing. Whereas my style is a lot more Spanish fencing. You know,
sure.
where it's just...
I see that you have studied your Agrippa.
Yes, I have. But it's just that, just that you know, the only important part of the sword is the last 3 inches of the tip. Like, that's the only dangerous part, really, is you just poke, poke, poke. That's what you're doing. You know, I like
well,
that.
And so I did get the fencing foil, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've apparently I do balloon fencing now, even though I'm a little
Yeah, Jenna has a saber.
I like to live on the edge of danger.
But I mean, balloon fencing is more of a slashing art. Balloon it fencing is a slashing style. It is not a true not a fencing, like, nope. You know.
It's a flippy-whippy,
yep.
Not a pokey-stabby.
Yes. This is why I like it. Flippy-whippy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there is flippy-whippy,
mm-hmm.
There is pokey-stabby,
okay.
And there is scratchy-hashy.
Hmm.
I'm going to determine those to be three basic fighting styles.
Okay.
Well, if we're going with fighting styles, are we also including, like, smashy-smashy, or...?
I think for sword purposes,
we
could have a cut and hack.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's cut and hack.
Mm-hmm.
There's pokey stabby.
Mm-hmm.
There's whippy wibbly. Mm-hmm. And there's slash and hash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with those.
Mm-hmm.
Those are four good sword styles. The slashy hash is very similar to the whippy whippy, but there's a lot more sudden jerks in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. The whippy whippy, you've got to stop in order to get the whip. Right? The whip into the whip.
The slashes follow through.
Yeah, the slashes follow through. You got to follow through with the slashy.
Yeah,
and you can pull in or you can push out, but it is still follow through, regardless of what you're doing.
I like the pokey. Poking is my.
I know.
Poking is my sword style.
Like
Whether it be my own throat or someone else's chest, I like poking. Sword pokes.
Most of the fighting style information that I have is based on video games. Because, yes, and movies and TV. There's a different character from Soul Calibur that uses Main Gauche, which is a two-handed style with a longer blade and a shorter blade.
Yeah.
And the shorter blade is used for parrying and stabbing, and the longer blade is used for slashing and...
This makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And I really like that.
Long sword and rapier.
Yeah.
And it's good. And it works very, very well, actually.
Offhand dagger is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Offhand cloak is a horrible thing and nobody should ever use it. I fucking hate cloak.
I'm no good at it, but I love Florentine style. I'm no
good, okay.
But I'm absolutely suck at it.
That's the one with spinach instead of meat, right?
Oh my god.
Should we take a break?
I'm angry that I understood that. That you said that. Right now, the only person I do not despise is Salsa, and that's weird.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break while Salsa's ahead.
I think we should take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
We should podcast some more.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I need to finish, because...
Yep.
I'm drunk.
And bedtime also.
I'm really incomprehensible shortly.
Sounds good to me. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James. Do a podcast.
And I'm Jenna.
Oh my god.
Also drunk. I've had a lot of Dr. Fix It. It's fixing everything right now.
You know what else will fix things? A Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stefan.
Senpai.
Senpai.
Stefan writes, "Hello, Apropostors. I am answering the clarion call for Fast Fives. I haven't really had the opportunity to overthink more questions I want to ask, which is why I haven't sent one since August of last year. Yes, I keep track of them. Is that weird? Why are you looking at me like that?" Anyway. Have some questions.
Yay!
Question number one. Wind or rain?
Rain.
Rain.
I would rather have a cold cleansing rain than a bitter wind.
I'm going to go with rain myself.
Yeah.
Hey. Reasons or rain?
Wind just gets me chilly, whereas rain, like a good rain, is so cleansing and it feels so good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, if we're talking like noises to go to sleep by, I'm still
rain. Yeah.
And rain has a smell that
petrichor.
Yeah. There's an actual term for
James just said it.
Rain. What?
Petrichor.
You're a petrichor.
I can never remember, but yeah, that's
I'm joking.
Yeah. That's okay. I think in different weather conditions, people are excited when there's snow. They are excited when there's rain, but I've never been like, ooh, there's wind. I mean, people have been excited about, like, good weather for flying a kite or something, but it's not.
Yeah, that's way more niche than rain.
Right.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. The
rain is just good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Question number two.
Motherfucker, I hate you.
Wow. That was so much.
I have instructions.
Oh. Senpai.
What was the instruction?
Glass break sound effect.
God, that is the glass break sound effect.
The first one
Senpai,
said.
We're going to have words.
The first one was ding sound effect. The second one is glass break sound effect. So,
it's not the only thing that's broken. You've also broken my heart.
So, question number two. Jem or Josie?
Jem and the Holograms or Josie and the Pussycats?
Yep, Jem.
I think Josie and the Pussycats had a better live-action movie.
Jem.
I haven't seen either of them. I don't know anything.
I haven't seen the live-action movies at all. I just know the cartoons. And Jem. Because there's holograms.
I know they exist.
Sure.
Also, I kind of want pink spiky hair. I'm not going to lie.
Why would anyone lie about that?
But pink spiky hair.
Sure.
It's on the when I turn 60, I'm going to do pink spiky hair and freak out everybody. It'll be delightful.
Cool.
20 more years, bitches.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
Which name do you like better, Jem or Josie?
Josie sounds more like a name, so Josie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all you got. That's fine.
I'm going to switch to Jem because Josie and the Pussycats was, I think, an Archie Comics thing from the 1960s, and Jem and the Holograms was solidly in the 1980s when I was a boy.
Yeah. There's also, like, I don't know. I think, honestly, the feminist in me likes Jem a little bit more.
Not a lot,
but a little.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Question number three.
I am sad. I am sad.
Why did you do this to us, Senpai?
Norway or Alaska?
Norway.
Norway.
When they have, like, universal healthcare, free education.
Which of these is the funnier answer to, do you think mom will let us keep this pet?
Wow. Wow.
And I think it's got to be Alaska.
I mean, if that is the context,
I will be very surprised.
I believe you're correct. But what the fuck just happened to my class 5? Did Kyle, like, dive in, drop something, and then leave, and I never saw him?
The only thing I can expect with Stefan Senpai is the unexpected, so.
I'm going to be shocked but thrilled if that is actively the context. In the meantime, I'm going to go Norway, because Norway.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. Question number four. To be fair, this one actually says clown horn, and I think that's the closest I can get to clown horn on this thing.
You don't have, like, an awooga?
I don't think so.
Or a...
No.
Or a...
No, there's no honka honka.
Oh.
No.
Oh, that's pretty close to a honka honka.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna have... Yeah. I think that's the closest I can get.
I think you chose correctly.
Yeah, I believe you
chose. There's the wrong button, which is a wah wah.
Yeah, I think the wah wah was the best. Okay, question number four. Hmm. Office or home office?
Home office.
Home office.
My coffee is so much better, you guys.
Amen.
Yeah.
Although I miss my smoothie bar. It was a really good smoothie bar. And, like, having other people cook lunch instead of me, that was lovely, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, in spite of saving a bunch of money on not buying pre-made food...
Are you switching to
Geico? Yeah.
Right, thank you. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been money savings. There's also been better coffee. My lunches are sadder, I'm not going to lie.
Hmm.
But I think overall, I'm going to go home office.
All right.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Also, if the question is about productivity, I feel like I'm about equally as productive in both environments. I just feel busier at the office. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm any more productive. I just feel busier. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, home office.
Okay. Question number 5. Boutique kit or make do?
Boutique kit.
Don't actually know what that means.
Or make do. Hmm.
I would not spend a lot of money on a boutique kit if I could make do with what I had. Because I'm much more likely to be able to create what it is that I actually want than have to follow somebody else's instructions on what I should be doing. Hmm. That said, I'm lazy. So if somebody else just had a thing for, and if it wasn't for me specifically, like if they were like, make a doodad, and I was like, do I gotta? Yes, I have the ability. Fine, I'll make a doodad. A boutique kit would be lovely, because then I wouldn't have to think about it. I could just do it.
I think I've enjoyed cooking more now that I'm kind of making do with what I have, rather than getting meals in boxes.
Sure.
You know, like the Blue Apron, the
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those are fine, and it's a great introduction to a lot of cooking principles, but I think I like the more free-form style of cooking.
Yeah, if I have to make it for me, I'm going to do it myself. If it's for somebody else, mm-hmm. I'm fine with boutique kit. I don't care.
So, salsa?
I think I got to go with make do.
All right. Works for me.
Don't know why, but yeah.
It's going to end up being a question about beef jerky, which will be a surprise to all of us.
I actually have things to say about beef jerky. About a month ago, when Joe and I were social distancing, I got something called a mystery meat pack. And it is beef jerky. It is various types of jerkies, but they are all labeled with different mystical animals. So you can get unicorn jerky or griffin jerky. Mystical meat sticks, I think is what they're called. Joe tried them all and found them delicious. And the font that they use in their marketing is like, hey, we're not Harry Potter, but we're kind of Harry Potter.
Damn it. Yeah.
Right, but they're not, so it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, there's like some of them. One of them is like, if you look at the actual thing, it's like alligator Cajun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's some really interesting flavors in that mystical meat stick thing.
That sounds amazing.
But go find them, because Joe enjoyed every single beef stick he had, or meat stick, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's something about eating unicorn that's just like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the time that BJ and Christo were wandering around site eating beef jerky in front of Twig?
Mm-hmm.
And they had attached little wings to the beef jerky. And they just sat there eating the beef jerky with wings on it in front of Twig.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still
it was the one time Twig almost broke character.
That's so much.
Okay, I have story time for you guys. So apparently I date guys that fuck with Twig.
But I mean, who doesn't fuck with Twig? That's, I mean,
oh, right.
Your sample size is pretty big.
Right. So yeah, no. And it was delightful. He's a very sweet, wonderful guy, and will always be a dear in my heart. But so he did that thing. Joe hit on Twig as a mime. What he did was he got one of those glass rocks, but like bigger, that she hands out, like the little fairy poop or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But inscribed his phone number on the back.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't even him. Like, he had a friend that was going through a glass blowing class or something. And like, so like, she was like, yeah, I made this thing. And he looked at it and he's like, can you put my number on the back? And she's like, yeah. And so that happened.
Jeez.
And then he basically mimed, like, with the honka horn that he had, his mime horn. He went, honka, honka. And she played a cute little thing. And he was like, but no, honka, honka. And then dug into his pouch and pulled out this thing. This rock, this glass rock, and then pulled out a vial of glitter and just dumped it on the rock until all of the glitter was out of the vial. Like, it was just a slow process of 5 seconds of just, like, glitter falling everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And then offered it to her and went honka honka on his honka horn. And she cautiously took it. And then he mimed, flip it over, So that she would flip it over and see his number. And she did the little tee-hee thing, and he went, call me, but like in mime, with
right.
like the
right.
the finger phone thing, mm-hmm. and then honk it away. And yeah, she never called him. She's smarter than I am.
Mimes don't usually have a lot to say on the phone.
That, God damn it. Anyway, so I have a history of dating people yeah. that fuck with Twig. Mm-hmm. Is basically what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Stefan wraps this up by saying, see you in the next email of Stefan.
Ooh.
And then we open up the second one, and it says, and we're back! I'm Salsa, and this is the Fast Five Context you've been waiting for, so we're
God
so
very... damn it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know, right? And we're back. I'm Salsa, and this is the Fast Five Context you've been waiting for so very long. What does it all mean?
Oh.
Will we ever really know? I mean, yeah, that's what this email is for.
I'm angry and delighted at the same time.
Question number one.
What? Fuck you.
Yeah, I know.
I know, that was Stefan.
Wind or rain? Which is more frustrating to have as constant weather over a weekend?
Wind.
Probably wind. But, like, I feel like either one is an opportunity.
Yeah?
I suppose it really depends on if it's a festival weekend or not.
Well, there's right. that.
Like, if it's a rainy day with no wind, I can still interact with people because they can still hear me.
Yeah.
If it's a windy day, nobody actually wants to be out there. It's weird. Like, rain is fine, but wind and rain is a bitch. Just wind is like, what the fuck am I even doing? I might as well Benjamin Franklin this shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with wind being the more frustrating.
I think wind, I agree.
Yeah, especially out at Fest, because the rain brings mud, which is fine, but also yields comedy, where the wind just brings dust.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Just, like, dummy thick clouds of dust.
Yeah,
fuck you and your dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm with it.
All right. Question number two.
Jesus.
Jem or Josie? Who had the better supporting band name? The Holograms or the Pussycats?
Holograms.
Yeah.
Holograms. All around.
Yeah.
Clearly the right answer.
Question number three. Norway or Alaska? Where would you go to have a meal of fresh caught salmon?
Either.
Norway.
Because after I eat the salmon, I'm in Norway.
We're in Delaware.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
I'm down with all
Delaware.
Of that.
What are you talking about, James?
Norway is clearly the correct answer.
Okay. Question number four.
You guys... No, I'm interrupting for a second. You guys, Uncle Hugo's is yet again on fire.
This is my shock
wow.
As in... The previous alert that I got that Uncle Hugo's was on fire was contained.
Oh.
And I just got new alert that Uncle Hugo's is on fire.
This is a new independent event.
It's probably the same one, but it's two different notifications. Like,
yeah.
Because the app that I have for that information will complete a notification, an incident, if you will.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like a new ticket being opened up.
I'm following.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what all that dinging was.
Sigh. Where were we? Question number four. Office or home office? after nearly 3 months of stay-at-home and social distancing, where do you think you can get more work done in a given day?
Ooh.
It depends on the work. I feel like I've said this before, but my job is half interaction, half math or logic or figuring shit out. And the interaction stuff, I can do way better at the office where I am there with people. Mm-hmm. But when I go to do my monthly metrics or my utilization analysis, if there are people interrupting me every 5 minutes, fuck that. I can't get a goddamn thing done. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on which half of my job I'm doing. And it is pretty much a 50-50 as to what I'm doing. So I'm going to go with home office just because people do have the ability to meet with me and set up like WebEx meetings and things like that. Whereas it is way easier to ignore people when I'm doing statistics when they are not right in front of my face.
I actually need
I would say at the office proper.
Because
a lot of my work is collaborative with my coworkers and being able to interact with them face-to-face ad hoc is a very different experience from having to, just as Jenna said, having to set up meetings and things like that. And it feels like a much more collaborative atmosphere when it is the office proper.
I think I actually need to switch to office as well. Under normal circumstances, the answer would be home office, but because my kids are home, I'm getting more interruption at home.
Sure.
I normally would not be. Like last year when I was working
at home. That is a significant consideration, yeah.
Last year when I was working at home, fantastic. I could do I could get my work done and I didn't have anyone bugging me ever. Now I've got, you know, my kids that I need to keep an eye on. I've got, you know, my wife, you know, asks me things every so often, you know, stuff like that. There's people here.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I have to switch. Specifically, having asked about stay at home due to social distancing and stuff, I got to go with office.
That's fair.
All right. Question number 5.
Thank you.
Boutique kit or make do? When you began having regular interpersonal work meetings remotely, did you go and get a microphone and headphones especially for that purpose, or have you just made do with built-in computer microphones and or earbud headsets you already have?
I have the best answer for this. because the lead-up to stay at home was Die Laughing. And Jessa, as the co-head for streaming, wanted to be able to play with various streaming aspects. So I had already ordered the Blue Yeti and the webcam that her co-head had said was probably the best for this kind of thing. So my answer to this is yes. It was technically stuff I already had, but I only ordered it about 2 weeks before quarantine actually started to happen.
Sure.
Like, it was like my stuff arrived, and then we were on lockdown.
Right.
So,
timely.
So, yes, I suppose technically on hand, but...
You're really in the gray area there, yeah.
I really am.
Pretty specifically,
Right.
This is a difficult question because I think most of us have superior equipment at home.
Yeah.
I think I think that means that it's boutique. Not for myself.
Yeah, I think we're all technically making do with what we have. I just happened to have something on hand earlier by a week or two than... Sure. Right.
Well, and having the old Awfulcopter.
I worked from home all last year, so I already had everything I needed.
Yeah.
Right.
Having the old Awfulcopter set up means...
I did order Jeff a new headset, and she is loving it, and she can't hear me at all. Which is one of the reasons why she is 10 times louder and can probably sometimes be heard on the podcast. but yeah, other than that, pretty much making do with what we have.
Cool, cool.
Technically.
All right. Stefan wraps this up by saying, hope you enjoyed these, and no, Jenna, I'm not actively planning on giving any more Fast Five custom sound effects.
Oh.
Thank you.
I'm not like...
Although that was... If there is anyone that could get away with it, it is probably Stefan, possibly Dennis. Just because of their sweetheart. But, yeah, nobody else better try that bullshit or I will fucking call you.
Stefan continues.
Stefan, you get one.
Oh, Stefan continues, it's not like I'm keeping track of what you and Salsa have played on the soundboard. That would be weird.
I mean... He is a sound guy.
Right.
It's, like,
but
I
not
feel
of sound
like,
mind.
I would be disappointed if he didn't pay attention.
Right.
Right. I feel like it would be me saying it was weird that I paid attention to the fight choreography in the last Airbender movie, which fucking sucked. And if you want to know about it, I will rant to you about it at length.
Is the fire bending at least...
No. Here's how they fucked up on the firebending. Okay.
Make fire. How hard is that?
So you've watched the cartoon, right?
I have, yes.
So you know how they can use their own chi to create fire?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They don't do that in the movie. They can only use or bend pre-existing fire.
Doesn't it? But then,
so how do you defy the Fire Nation?
Dump water on them.
Yeah, you just don't have any fucking fire around, and they can't do shit all. And yet, they somehow didn't do that. The firebending was in the effects at best, and the whole concept that they put in the movie was bullshit.
Grim.
This email wraps up by saying, love you all, Stefan Senpai.
Uh-huh.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who's got something to plug?
I do.
Okay.
The end of June Vill show is coming up, and I will post a link.
My daughter's in it.
This one is very exciting because it is the No Men show. So it is all women, all femme presenting, or non-binary.
Is that the nomenclature of the show?
I believe it's called Fuck the Patriarchy.
That is exactly what it's called.
So, yes, the No Men show.
Yeah.
So the nomenclature of the show is the No Men show.
Oh, get the fuck out, Salsa. Get out. Fuck you.
Oh, James would be proud.
Okay.
He is, but he's not going to admit it because I'm right fucking here, and that is smart.
I'm already on thin ice.
He's just upset he didn't think of it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anything else?
But yeah, the Fuck the Patriarchy show, James. Tell us more about that, where my daughter will be starring and kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah, I was going to say... it is nice to be able to sit back and watch Ville shows, and also to not be in the direct line of fire up against your daughter is also something of a relief.
I really retired at the right time.
You really did. I could only take about a year, year and a half of her before I was like, God damn it, she's kicking my ass. I think I gotta go. Does that make James the better vilifier out of the three of us?
No, God no.
I think I'm just the less observant one.
Oh, okay.
If you really
should be more observant with everybody like telling you how incredible my daughter is as opposed to you.
I feel like James embodies the if you can't be funny, be durable in this case.
Yes, this is accurate. This is accurate, yeah.
Very much in like the Daffy Duck sort of durability.
Yeah.
Or the Wile E. Coyote sort of durability. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just rewatched Into the Spider-Verse and I'm so happy with Porker Parker.
Anyone else have something to plug?
I have a shout-out.
Well, we're not doing shout-outs, James.
That's not a plug.
We're doing plugs right now.
We're doing plugs right now. And the question was, do you have a plug? I will say Adventurous Artists is still debating when we will do a First Fringe Friday. We're having a meeting tomorrow, so hopefully we will have an answer for people soon. But go to Adventurous Artists. If you go to adventurousartists.com, there will be links to every possibility for Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can go to any of those based off of there. Follow us. Find information. We promise we have not forgotten about Fringe. There are just other more pressing matters at hand, like, you know, the lives of our Black friends. So soon, we hope to have a specific date.
Cool. I don't have anything to plug, so who's got a shout-out? I wonder if anybody has a shout-out.
I wonder if James has a shout-out.
Nah.
James, do you have
I do. I actually, my shout-out is to the cast and audience of Vilification Tennis. Because we put up more than $1,000 in matching money, and the audience hit that. And those donations are going to causes that will help to rebuild the area here, and that will also serve to keep the momentum up on progressive causes, especially those directly related to equality and justice for people who have been suffering a lot. Our friends that are people of color and people who have suffered police brutality recently and things like that. It's they're very good causes, and I'm very excited about it. So I'm pleased that we raised some $2,000-something to hand them with a Tennis Interruptus show, with a short show. It's fantastic. So I'm extremely grateful to everybody involved, and I'm glad to contribute my own money as well.
Jenna?
This is going to sound weird. I want to thank BIPOC, but very specifically Black people, for the emotional work, the emotional labor that a lot of them are putting into things right now, for educating, and for when the time calls for it, telling white people to fuck off. There is so much going on right now, and so much of it is Black focused. And it involves other BIPOC people. But so much of it is Black focused, and people are asking their one Black friend, what do I do? And that poor one Black friend is getting over fucking whelmed, and still being patient with white people, still being, more or less. But I want to thank those who have been giving their time, and I want to thank those who have acknowledged their limits and said no. I think it is very important that, again, BIPOC, but especially Black people, are taking care of themselves and their own needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching out to those who can help them, which is probably going to be primarily people within the Black community. And just making sure that their needs are met first, because that doesn't happen within our society.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, great. Make me follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, fucker.
I am going to give a shout out to Fossil and Prairie Park Preserve near Rockford, Iowa, for being just really fucking cool. Not just for me and my family, but just in general. It's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I was also going to give a shout out to Lake Time Brewery, which is in Clear Lake, Iowa. But then I remembered that they didn't make their people wear masks, so fuck them. Still drink their beer, but fuck them.
Wait, so I should fuck all of them and then drink their beer?
Yes.
But they're not wearing masks.
That's why, I mean, that doesn't mean they're not wearing rubbers.
Okay, I get it now. So, like, there's a wall. It's like a... Nope, not going there. Hi, I've been drinking.
Glory, glory.
The CDC has recommended glory holes as a form of sexual expression.
Yes.
Is there anything else anybody would like to mention? Anything?
Bye. I love you. Bye.
Okay, whatever. In that case, thank you so very much for listening. Thank you to Stefan for sending in a fast five. Woo!
Yay!
Thank you to everyone who's listening. I already said that. Fuck it. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.